This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
And sometimes Barnes.
And sometimes Barnes.
Yeah, I'm here today.
We just had to drop that
and
annually.
And sometimes Marv.
All right, dude, my frigging grandma died, dude. You're going to give me crap because my grandma died?
No, I'm not.
Seriously.
I'm talking about like when we do all of our outside shows.
Contract, all right? How many times do we have to talk about this?
It's episode 165, and damn if nothing happened in the world of combat.
No, right? Yeah, boring show. Yeah, really boring. Absolutely nothing going on.
Nothing occurred.
So, yeah. You know what? Anybody see any good movies?
Yeah, I mean, I know comes out this weekend? Mockingjay, the new Mockingjay movie.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
that explains these fuzzy feelings I've been having all day.
No, we didn't do anything this past week.
No, not at all.
No, that's not worth talking about.
No.
We do got to give a shout out to Roger Klein and the Peacemakers. They are performing at 9:30 p.m. a couple blocks away at Magic Bag Theater. All the music is either Roger Klein and the Peacemakers or the Refreshments. And hopefully we have some people that might be calling in, maybe not. We're working on it right now, some logistics stuff. But we have to cover what did happen this weekend. Ronda Rousey.
What happened to
Rousey?
Her? What happened?
Ronda Rousey.
Did something happen? Did she fight?
She fought Holly Holm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How'd that go? Probably beat the crap out of Holly, didn't she?
Fought her in Australia.
Yeah. Beat the crap out of her?
Didn't go so well.
Really?
Did not go so well.
Weird. She didn't
went
lose,
well for
did she?
Holly.
She didn't lose, did she?
It went well for Holly.
It went well for Holly, yeah.
Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum.
So I wrote down all my thoughts because people were bugging me about them anyways. And so we're just going to run through it.
All right.
You guys chime in whenever you want.
I was sitting right next to you while we were watching it, so I'm very interested to hear what you have to say.
exactly. Well, first off, we're just going to cover basically the fight first, what we saw at the fight.
Okay.
Then we're going to talk about, was it as great of an upset as the Mike Tyson upset?
Okay.
No.
We're going to talk about if she's no longer invincible.
Like, we can end that conversation right there.
No longer invincible. Dana White, Joe Rogan's comments. We're also going to comment on fighters being fighters, everybody commenting out there. And then the I picked Holly Holm rants that were all out there. And will she be the same after this after all this? So we'll start off with the fight. We talked a little bit about it. Holly Holm fought the perfect fight. She did it absolutely what she had to do. You have to think that everybody knew her game plan, and there's a clip going around of the Jimmy Fallon show where Ronda Rousey says she knows exactly what Holly Holm's going to do.
She's
going to
exactly
keep her distance.
She did.
She's going to try to like kick and keep their distance and punch and blah, blah, blah. If you knew that game plan, why'd you do it?
Well, and I believe in that same clip, she even says, like, she'll probably try to kick me in the head, but it's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
Well, guess what? That is precisely what happened.
That's why it's so hard to figure out what Ronda's game plan was. This is just a theory. I'm going to think that she basically wanted to show that she could stand up with her, and two things either happened. Either she became gassed, which could be a possibility, she didn't have the cardio, or the effects of Holly Holm's punches made her ineffective, because after she realized she was in deep shit, she tried for the takedowns, and being a judo champion, being in the Olympics, you have to believe that she could get Holly Holm on the ground. And she tried a few times and was scrambling. But there was two takedowns that she couldn't get Holly Holm down. And I'm just going to throw it out there because I don't know, because we've not heard from Ronda besides in these little personal statements she's releasing. But I would say that she either got gassed and wasn't prepared for this fight and wasn't ready to go that long, or the effects of Holly Holm's punches stunned her and she wasn't able to take her down.
I'm going
to
throw a third in there.
All right, throw the third in.
Frustration.
Could have.
I think that when I – because she's so used to not only winning but winning quickly. And then when that didn't work for her, I think she kind of went a little bratty and got frustrated with it. And then, like, you know, I mean, Barnes,
you got to remember who she's fighting. Like, I said this. I talked to Brad before the fight. So, it's Holly Holm. She's is a pro boxer. She's 33-2-3. Mm-hmm. She has world titles in 4 different weight classes. Mm-hmm. She won a world title in kickboxing. And she was what? What's her UFC record now? Still undefeated in that.
Yeah.
Champion.
Also, if I'm not mistaken, won a chili cook-off down in Texas back in 2012.
See, that's a big deal.
So add that one as well.
See, you'll know all that stuff now that she's champion. And, yeah. The preacher's daughter's out there now.
But you know, right, Barnes? I mean, you can't lose your focus, right? No. And so if you get frustrated by things like that, right, it completely throws you off. Then add to that those stunning hits from Holmes and you know.
Especially when you know that is her game plan.
Yeah.
That she said on the on the Jimmy Fallon show, whatever. Like, she knew exactly what was going to happen, and that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think she just got too Hollywood. I don't think she trained hard enough,
That's what happened.
If she did, then I don't know who she's training with. She should train every single one of her she should fire all of her trainers because that looked horrible. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm still a Ronda fan.
Because
Ronda's awesome, but like. Yeah. You know, I was also a Holly Holm fan, but I did tell Brad that if anyone's going to beat her, it will be Holly.
Barnes likes the no touching of gloves and laying on the cage beforehand and staring down.
No, see, I don't like that because I think she's. You know, I'm really quiet when I do my weigh-ins and staring downs. I don't do that stuff, so I'm not really a big fan of that. But
Barnes lets St. Michael and St. Thomas do his talking for him. those are his fist names.
I got to bring up this point about the fight, too, because there was about 20 seconds before the vicious knockout. I was like, this is going to get stopped, right? Herb Dean's going to jump in and, then that's fine. It gets stopped. Maybe people will be like, why would you stop a champion, blah, blah, blah. I go, there'll be some controversy. There'll be this. A slight turn by Ronda as she's trying to escape as Holly Holm and then turns back around and then the kick and then boom.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between a ref stopping it where you can hold your head up a little high to getting knocked the F out like that.
And she was knocked out.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Her head hit that mat hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it needed, though, to like really get that, you know, like Ronda was beat. You know, if it was stopped, people would be like, no, Ronda didn't deserve it.
Of all the memes and stuff that were going around, my favorite has to be the Rush Hour one of Chris Tucker.
which one
of y'all kicked me? Because that had to be what was like going through her head. Like she said, she's like, who kicked me? who did that?
Well,
because she was out, dude.
Two people hit you, Ronda. Holly hit you with the foot, and then the mat hit you with your head.
Yeah. There was no mistaking. Yep. She was unconscious.
Yeah, she was.
That was a true knockout.
My favorite meme is the straight out of Compton, but straight out of consciousness.
Yeah.
That was my favorite one.
There was
a ton of them.
Rocky IV with
Rocky
IV.
Yeah,
throw the damn towel.
Throw the damn towel.
Somebody photoshopped Ronda in Sylvester Stallone Rocky's hand as like Apollo Creed dying.
It was
bad. But that brings us let's move on to the next point really quick, and we can go back to the fight and talk the fight all we want, but. Barnes already said it wasn't as big as the Tyson upset.
No.
Marvin said wasn't as big as the Tyson upset.
Not at all.
I mean, Ronda has a few fights. You know, Mike Tyson had way more than that.
Yep.
And he's just way bigger of a deal. Everybody.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, at that point, like, who knew of Buster Douglas at that point?
Well, I mean,
right?
In retrospect, you look
back. Buster Douglas didn't even think he was going to win. I was watching
Right. Weren't we talking about this like a year or so ago? Like
we had him on, and he said
they didn't even bring the belts.
Yeah.
They were like, there's no way he beats Tyson. We're not even going to bring the belts to this thing.
And
like,
the Tyson's camp, they didn't even bring the end swell. They didn't bring any of that stuff because they never expected it to go, I think, past the first round.
Okay, well, as much as I agree with that, that if you look at it from a fight standpoint, Holly Holm totally dominated the fight.
Oh, yeah. From and beginning
so
to
in,
end.
In that way, the Tyson, if you remember the Tyson fight, he actually knocked Buster Douglas down. And maybe Buster didn't even beat the count. That's always debatable that it was a long count. We saw Mike Tyson at Fox Theater, and he said that it was the longest 10 count he's ever seen. Yeah. And they even played the video at the Fox Theater, and it does seem like a long 10
count. Yeah, it does.
But then he loses. But I'm going to say it's as big, okay? And this is the reasoning why, right? You got to have reasons why, right?
We live in a
much more technology-based society in which when Buster Douglas knocked out Tyson, I remember seeing very clips here and there of it. I will always remember the image of him trying to put the mouthpiece back into his mouth.
Yeah.
And I associate that with now Ronda's pictures of her like lying there completely dead, out to the world. And it, because of how everybody is on Facebook and how big, whether or not you cared about the UFC, when I was scrolling through my personal Facebook, it's all I saw.
Sure.
It was big.
But I don't think you can – I don't think you can
just
you can't base it on social media since it didn't exist. And
right.
I maintain that if social media as it is today existed when the Tyson, Douglas Tyson fight happened, you would have seen the same, if not more.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Everyone knows about the Tyson Douglas thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And that happened when it didn't have social media.
Yeah.
People were still talking about,
Right.
Well, so I think people are still going to be talking about Ronda for years. I really
Sure they will, but we're still talking about Douglas Tyson. So
I agree. The odds of the Douglas Tyson were 42 to 1. What were the final odds of Holly Holm?
It's like, I don't remember. I know Ronda was a 1,200 point favorite.
Okay.
But
why isn't someone looking it up?
Because the internet's.
Because I don't know that.
How would we do that? Is there some kind of information superhighway you'd like me to jump on?
I'm just a co-host.
He's a manual co-host. He doesn't even get in the intro.
Because the same way people thought Ronda was invincible, they thought Tyson was invincible. Mm-hmm. Tyson was scary as hell, and the way he would stare down people in the ring, where he'd follow with the eyes, the way he would come out in the plain black shorts, the same thing Ronda tried to do, bully by association. And the thing that makes this upset equal, I believe, is that they were both human after it happened. Now, Mike Tyson went on to win like the next four or five fights.
See, the thing is, though, is that most people are putting memes out and stuff like that and talking about it because she was talking about beating Floyd Mayweather, not because people actually cared about the fight she was in. Everyone thought Tyson was going to win. Like, some people didn't even care if Holly fought. Not Holly Holmes, but Ronda fought. So a lot of people are just making – half the people didn't even see the fight. Mm-hmm. They just know that she was talking, shit about Floyd, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, well, she lost, haha. So I'm going to put it out there.
It was 22-1 was the odds.
Okay, so more Buster Douglas there at 42-1.
I think, too, like I was trying to find the info, but like I guess you got to look at like what were Buster Douglas like, what was his record, what were his stats at the time he fought Tyson?
He was undefeated, I believe. You'd have to look it up. And he was not Evander Holyfield, who was sitting at the side of the ring and was up next,
mm-hmm.
but he was not by any means considered a pushover.
Okay, because I mean, we heard what's your name again, Barnes. We heard Barnes, rattle off her, her accomplishments and her achievements, and like, was Buster Douglas anything, comparable to that? To say that it was an upset, I mean, I that's why I'm saying, like, I think if
see, that's hard to compare though too, because that's just boxing,
right?
This is mixed martial arts,
right? So right,
but I'm saying like,
and Holly went from boxing to kickboxing to MMA.
But if you want, but statistically, you can look at it and say these are her accomplishments. So was it really that big of a surprise?
No,
given her long list of things.
No,
what were Douglas's accomplishments?
Right, exactly. Like, that's what he's saying.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, was there anything to compare whether it was as big of an upset?
Sure.
Right.
I think there were. I don't think his stats were anything near comparable to what Holly's were. And so I don't think you can say it was as big of an upset because, I mean, take away the, like you said, take away the Hollywood and the hype around Ronda and just put the two fighters together, who do you, based on stats alone, who do you really think was going to win?
Well, Holly, for sure.
There you go.
Way more experience.
There you go.
But Ronda. The litmus eye test would say that Ronda would have won.
The what?
The eye test. Which
the
I
eye test?
Meaning watching.
Well, sure.
Okay.
I would assume Ronda would have won. And if I was to pick tomorrow a rematch, if Ronda comes back and we got to go through that.
Right.
I would
she
believe,
said she's going to.
I believe she would win.
Well, I don't know.
I believe she doesn't mess around.
Think so.
I don't think Holly Holm can stop a judo toss when she's conditioned.
If she and that's exactly what it is. If Ronda does what she needs to do, which is to get back at cancel 80% of all of her media appearances and all these things,
fire
that she's
all
got
of
going
her training
on,
staff.
New training, well, not even necessarily new training staff. If
her boxing coaching,
well, but that's the other thing too. get a better boxing coach.
I'll train
but
her.
Go back to well, Mayweather already said he's going to. So,
oh, you don't want Mayweather?
Whatever. Oh God, can we just not talk about him anymore?
Okay. But if Ronda goes back to basics, she goes back, and now that she's lost, she's got that hunger again. Maybe. Now that she's lost,
we hope.
Well, we hope.
We
exactly.
hope. Maybe. We hope. Maybe it completely destroyed her, and like her entire world crumbled.
Right. Well, but that's what I'm saying. So if we get Ronda back in the gym with that hunger again, and she focuses, laser focus, like she has before, and she goes into that ring doing her game plan, not the game plan of I want to prove something, but this is how I'm going to win game plan. I think she might have a chance at the rematch.
But you talk about hungry, right? But you know what? She's no longer invincible.
Right.
It's true.
And that is huge.
It could be the UFC version of Mike Tyson.
Well,
down
exactly.
Here.
Yeah, and that could very well happen,
The other
too.
Thing you have to look at, though, is she needs to build herself back up because
look,
what now is going to happen? I mean, before it was like, well, she'll do another fight. She'll be undefeated. She'll retire. She'll start doing movies and all that stuff. Are those deals still out there now?
They may or may not be.
So she's going to have to build herself back up to get that popularity back. Otherwise, I mean, right. I mean, I guess it would be easy for her to say, you know what, screw it, I lost, I'm done.
Right.
I'm going to go be in the next Avengers movie or whatever.
Well, she's in the Expendables, we already know that. Yeah. She's in the new Fast and Furious, we know that.
But that stuff probably ends now, right? Unless if she stops fighting now, that ends. She needs to come back and at least establish herself as a winner again. Because nobody's going to want to see her. We got Ronda Rousey in our movie, big deal, she lost.
Right, here's the thing. And I hate to use this analogy, but I'm going to use this analogy. Right now, Ronda Rousey is Rocky when he gets beat by Clubber Lang. He needs to find an Apollo Creed who's going to push him and get him that Eye of the Tiger back.
That's Barnes.
And that exactly. But
I want to
pushes
see.
Him, gets that hunger, that Eye of the Tiger back, and she's got to go in there and she's got to prove to
things.
Not only herself, but
not
to the world.
Rest. I shall not rest until we have video of Ronda Rousey and Anthony Barnes running on a beach in tube socks.
Yes,
I
absolutely.
Want in tube socks.
In
I
those
want
shorts.
Them in the shorts with the knee-high striped tube socks. Slow motion.
You make that
just
happen, Mark.
Bodies glistening. Sorry, I need a minute.
You make that happen, Marv.
I shall not rest. Right. That is my new mission.
We'll see what kind of champion she is, though. She bounces back.
Yeah, exactly.
See, the thing is I know Holly's going to be a good champion because she's had losses in her pro career, actually in kickboxing and boxing, and she was a good world champion then, and she's probably going to be a better one now because she's getting more love now than she ever was.
Sure.
They put Ronda on the Ring magazine cover. Holly Holmes has been a pro boxer for, I think 11 years.
Not in the cover. And she's in movies now as well as Ronda. Holly, Misha Tate, and Chris Cyborg are in this new women's fight movie that's coming out in the spring, I think.
Which nobody knows about, but now will probably be
a
blockbuster.
Well, that's the thing is that... the director's like, yeah, I was gonna, you know, we were gonna release in a couple of theaters, but after Holly won, we might be looking at a national release. It looks really bad.
I was gonna say they might want to look at the movie and consider some recuts though.
I haven't seen it, but I think the only thing that looked interesting from the trailer was that Chris Cyborg was kissing another woman, and they're both looking pretty damn good.
Okay, well, there's that.
Yep.
Oh, real quick on the rematch, if it ever happens. I still pick Holly.
All right,
I do.
All right,
and you're calling that see, now. You know not what? Even, not that even now. Seeing like what Rhonda may or may not have done.
Okay, I'm going to reserve until after I've seen Rhonda, how she comes back, if she comes back, like how she deals with this in the coming months, and then how much we actually don't see of her. Well, compared
and
then to
I,
her
and
training.
I will say this: if there is a rematch, I say the winner will be UFC and Reebok.
No boy. Well, we got to cover invincibility. So, like, there's that part in Rocky IV, and not because it's real or anything, but when he makes...
I was going to say, do you think we lose some credibility compare shit?
No, not
no,
really.
There's
two
the whole,
fictional boxing there, movies.
No.
There's the whole thing where when he makes Drago bleed, and he's like, he's human, he can bleed, right?
Yeah, right.
I can't tell you what this now does, because when you act the way that Rhonda does, right, then lose in this fashion, you're different now. For no matter, you can not touch gloves anymore, and people are going to laugh that off. You can walk to the ring as fast as you want. No one's going to care anymore because no one is going to be scared of you like they were before this loss.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, I'm not saying that you can't come back and beat Holm because you might be able to with your judo skills, but you were looking ahead of this fight. You were talking about how I'm going to come back to UFC 200 or I'm going to take some time off before this. That's not what a champion typically thinks. That's not the mindset. She clearly was looking past Holm and thought that there was no chance that Holly had a chance at this. When you're saying, I might come back for UFC 200, I'm going to take some time off and stuff like that, you're clearly not in the right thing.
Ronda Rousey?
Yeah, you lose that nickname. Like, I really do believe Iron Mike Tyson was no longer Iron Mike Tyson when that happened. You could say your nickname's Iron Mike Tyson, but you just lost the way you lost that nickname.
Can we give her a new nickname of Mousy Ronda Rousey?
I don't know. But I wanted to say this, too.
Lousy Ronda Rousey?
I believe Dana White, because if you remember, we covered this. I believe on this network, we were here still, or just started off here, is that I believe he picked this fight to humiliate boxers because the whole talk was, will boxers make more, this and that.
Of course.
And here comes a boxer comes in and talk about a backfire. Just backfire. I mean, obviously Rhonda's stand-up isn't as good as anybody thought. But she was like the Patriots. She was like Mayweather. Either you watched it.
And that she cheats?
No, you either watched it to hope she lost, or you watched it to win. And the Patriots, because they're always kind of flirting with undefeated. Mayweather, because he is
cheating.
Undefeated. Now, that's kind of gone. I mean, people would turn in for the pay-per-view.
Real quick. If you ever seen Rhonda stand up and, like, spar, like, boxing on, like, YouTube, who would ever think she's good standing up? She looked horrible. Like, prior to this, she could not box worth a shit, period. That's it. She couldn't.
And that's coming from a pro boxer.
She looks like a bad amateur boxer, especially during the Holly Holm fight. She came forward, no defense, mm-hmm. just chin up in the air, looking stupid and following the whole entire fight. Like, so I mean, I don't know why anyone would ever think. The only time I thought, you know, she would definitely win if it was on the ground. But then even then, Holly got takedowns and. Yeah.
Rhonda even took herself down at one point by missing that punch and falling to her knees.
I'm telling you.
That was when the embarrassment was
started. Like, you know, if you put tomato cans in front of a fighter, they can beat them up all day and they'll look super impressive. But you get a real fighter in front of them, and it's like, oh, okay, well, maybe she wasn't all that great.
But what I was saying is that people turn in to watch to root for you or root against you, and that element's kind of gone. Not only that, you could throw together a mediocre card, and let's not mistake it, Saturday's card was mediocre. And you could put her at the top, and people would still buy it.
Yeah.
That's kind of gone. You could pick magazine appearances, etc. You could claim to beat up boys. You could choke out anchors on morning shows. That's all gone because of this loss.
Yeah.
And she'll never get that back. You can't claim to beat a guy ever again if you're Rhonda. You can't say something stupid like that ever effing again. Because probably not.
No.
I do have to comment, though. Layla Ali said that to be the best in the world, you don't ever get beat as bad as she saw Ronda get.
Yeah.
Like, did she not Did she not watch Frasier beat her dad though? Like, I mean, that was like the worst contradiction.
No, but hold on though. She said at your prime get beat
at your prime. Prime. Yeah.
Was that his prime?
Well, he took years off because of the draft, but that was his comeback.
That was not his
fight.
Prime. It's like it's like going to jail. You know, you go to jail, like you're probably not going to be as good as like you know before you went in.
Well, the only one that served time is Marv. Is that true?
Well, I was just on probation.
Okay.
I was on probation. What?
No,
that is true. That is true. I was on probation. Scariest 5 minutes of my life were sitting in that waiting room.
Let's move to one of my favorite people, and then. One of the guys that we talk about all the time here, but Dana White and Joe Rogan. First off, the Joe Rogan video.
I got nervous. He's like one of my favorite people and one of the guys we talk about all the time. I was like, somebody's going to be pissed when he says that name.
No, you're right. The Joe Rogan video of him when Ronda gets knocked out.
I haven't seen
the look on his face is like, no, I'll reproduce
it.
Okay,
reenact it for me.
So he's looking, she gets knocked out, and he does this.
That's the same kind of look like you give your buddy when you realize you've stumbled into like a gay bar or something. You're just like
what do I do now? Like that can't have just happened.
Yeah, like wow.
And his eyes were like popping out of his
head. Exactly. Like you could tell it took him like a good 10 seconds for him to compose himself and actually talk about like what was happening, what just happened. But, yeah, just, like, eyes as big as dinner plates, like, what just happened?
So you want to start off with Dana White or you want to do Joe Rogan?
Let's start off with Joe Rogan.
All right, so Joe Rogan, the funny video, right?
Yep.
And besides that, he comes out with a quote. Obviously, Ronda took it hard on social media and stuff, but his quote was basically this. This is an ugly sport. I'm sorry. This is the ugly truth about the sport. Is that some people will never sympathize with your defeat. The same people who don't know what it feels like to get their ass kicked in front of millions around the world, they simply can't put themselves in that position, which is what it makes it so easy for them to talk shit online about them. I love almost everything Joe Rogan does, but I disagree with this comment. And lately, we see this a lot. Some people don't even want to call into our show because they feel like they're not fighters and that they don't have a validity. You don't have to fight MMA to know that Ronda had the wrong game plan. You don't have to follow MMA closely to understand that Holly Holm dominated the fight. I guess I'm getting a little sick and tired of people that are in the industry claiming that if you've not fought before, and it's really happening in the MMA world, that you have no idea what is going on. Are you just watching the
Yeah, that's hilarious. I just found it.
That's so funny.
His world's rocked. He's like, she's not coming back on the plane with us. That's exactly what she's saying.
Yeah. Like, it's actually, it's almost like, it's like he's looking, he's like, I think I just pooed my pants. Like, it's the same kind of look. Like, if he was saying, you know, like, you're somewhere and you just feel your stomach drop and you're like, oh, this is going to be bad. That was the look he had. He's like looking right and going, I just pooed. I seriously just pooed, dude. I just pooed myself.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, that girl you kissed, your cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, like you made out with a chick, like you're out of town, and then like you get to the family reunion, and like she walks in, and you're like, oh
no!
Like it was that look together with, oh, that's the girl I made out with, and I just pooped my pants.
The best is if you watch it with sound, the guy then puts like more audio to it in slow mo, where he's like, oh. I think Bleacher Report snatched that up from somebody on the cell phone and made it public, so we thank him for that.
Yeah. All right, so back to Joe Rogan
I'm just getting tired of people saying that, and Dana White said that also at the press conference where he's like, a lot of people know fighting, but they don't understand fighting, and then defended his comment for picking Holly Holm as the reason he wanted to do this fight. But then a reporter out there said that, hey, you know, does this have some validity to it? And I'm paraphrasing, that boxers should come into MMA. And he basically said, I wouldn't recommend it. which was like another shot at boxing, as Dana White always freaking finds a way to do.
Do you think maybe they should go by way of kickboxing first?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, everyone remembers James Toney fought. And James Toney, fought Randy Couture and
It was bad.
But no one was more happy than James Toney, I think, that Holly Holm. Because no one can talk about the boxer that got in the octagon.
Well, but I hate to say this.
The first boxer to win a UFC title.
Yeah, but I have to say this, too. Holly Holm was not a boxer in that match. She has a boxing background, but she went from boxing to kickboxing. And what knocked Ronda out? It was the kick to the head.
Yeah.
So if you took a pure boxer, I'm not saying that that didn't have a factor in it. What I'm saying is, if you took a straight boxer who had never done anything kickboxing or MMA related, and then put them in a ring with an MMA fighter, it would be a different fight than what you saw between Holly Holm and Ronda. She fought Ronda as a boxer who became a kickboxer, who won championships, who then became an MMA fighter, and was constantly winning.
If I'm not mistaken, she actually turned pro at the same exact year for kickboxing and boxing.
Yeah. So I'm saying.
But so the point is that she trained. She didn't just train boxing.
Right.
I think Jimmy's right.
She only had three pro kickboxing fights, but like her footwork was like a boxer.
Right. I'm not saying it's not because
she knew that's exactly what would be wrong.
Exactly.
Now I gotta ask Barnes this, because Barnes is steadfast on his Holly Holm prediction, but if you had to pick one to keep your nice sports car, and we like your sports car,
His sports car broke down a couple weeks ago. Let's not forget that.
No, he had locked his keys in.
Oh, that's right. It was locked in. That's right. I apologize. I take that back. It was not broken down. It was not CMBD.
Ronda Rousey?
Cheap and broke down.
Or Holly Holm to keep your car. You would have went Holly Holm?
For what?
To protect it?
Like to protect?
No,
would
no,
you,
no.
Would you have bet your car that Holly Holm was going to win?
Oh.
Oh.
Hmm.
Or would you have picked Ronda?
You know what? Honestly,
you would have picked Ronda.
No, I wouldn't, because listen, that's the only reason why I say this. Now, every time I've ever made a bet, right? Mind you, I've always lost. But when it comes to sports betting, I always pick the underdog. I don't care. When I was in Vegas, I put money on when Adrian Broner fought on the PBC card for the first time. Who did I pick? I posted on Facebook. I had the slip and everything, and I thought AB was going to lose, and he was such a favor. But every time I go there, every time I always bet, I always go for the underdog, and definitely Holly, because I'm telling you, I just picked it, and I just
so you would bet your you would have bet your car on Holly.
Yeah, I want a new car anyways. Okay.
Well, I was just going to say, you and I were talking before, and you were kind of like, I'm thinking a new car anyway, so it would have been a reason to get a new car.
But you
so.
Just said you always bet on the underdog,
always.
And you said you're going to bet on Holly again in a rematch.
Well, she's not the underdog anymore.
Not anymore.
She would be the underdog. She'd be the underdog.
She would still be
in a rematch.
She'd probably be the underdog.
Okay.
Because Ronda is strong on the game, on the ground.
Yeah.
That could have been a totally different fight if Ronda goes straight over to try to take her down.
Oh, yeah. I expected her to do.
Right.
And why didn't she? Any thoughts?
I have no reason, but why
didn't she do it?
I think Brad and Anthony hit it on the head when they said that she was trying to prove that she could stand up and box with a boxer. And it completely backfired.
She should have tried that for about 10 seconds.
Well, I think that's what
she did try.
She did, but that's the thing is within those first 10 seconds.
Within the first
10 seconds, Holly hit her twice. Mm-hmm. It looked like, and Dr. Gomez even said it looked like her lower jaw was broke. Her jaw was hanging down.
Yeah,
she looked completely gassed within the first 30 seconds of the fight.
It's really hard to grab somebody too when they're hitting you in the face.
Exactly.
You know what I mean, so
and that was the thing is she didn't. She
that's good distance. It was a good distance, a fast jab.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. It was. She didn't know how to get past that jab.
Good footwork.
Yeah.
So I will defend Ronda, and I did that night. First off, Australia is about as far away from the time zone as you can get. I believe they were only there a week and a half. We don't know how her weight cut went. We don't know anything. There's a lot of things, and Anthony will verify. a lot of behind the scenes stuff we don't see.
A lot of factors.
It's easy for us to say,
yeah,
she was gassed, out of shape, not worked, or she was stunned from the punch. There's a lot that could have went wrong on that last week and a half of camp.
Hell, she could have started her period that day.
Right.
You don't know.
And I mean, you know what?
No, seriously. Could take a huge hit to the body.
And there's closed doors meetings guaranteed in the Zuffa office of UFC about how they flubbed that. And she had fought in Brazil, and then her next fight she's fighting in Australia. If you're a champ, and I don't want them to lose, and there's no question Zuffa didn't want her to lose because she was a money-making machine. Why do that?
Yeah.
Is it a coincidence that Mike Tyson was hooking up with hookers and shit in Tokyo and going crazy? Because he fought Buster Douglas in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, in hindsight, Don King might have not been too smart doing that, you know, because he wasn't training, got knocked out in training camp. He was not Mike Tyson when he got in the ring with Buster.
Maybe this was just more evidence to people not taking home seriously.
He got to Hollywood, though, too. So, same telling you. It's just a female version.
Well, what I had said is that she had mentioned before the fight that, hey, I'm probably going to be taking a break anyway after this fight.
She was right.
Well,
she medical suspension.
Yeah, she took a break.
there's a theory about that.
Bed. Yeah, she sure did.
We'll get onto that a little bit later.
She started her nap at what was that? A minute 59 into the second. This, yeah. She took a nap right then and there.
I didn't post the video, but I will. Ronda arrived in LAX. Did you guys see the
pillow on the face?
Yes. Oh my god, that concerns me. She might not be the same. She's obviously taking this very hard. Not only is she taking this hard, is that I've seen champions wear sunglasses. I've seen people embrace the loss. If she's that demoralized, this might not.
Have we actually seen a picture of her face? Maybe her face
might be messed up. Yeah. But boxers always post that.
Yeah,
it's almost like
not lady boxers.
You know,
and if she did start her period, she's going to think she looks ugly anyway. Now add to that a dislocated jaw and black eyes. Oh, God. Yeah, that's why she hid her face. She felt like she was bloated. None of her clothes fit right.
She didn't handle herself the way she did. It's a rough time of the
month. I'm saying she may have put her pad on adhesive side up. Have you ever done that? It's terrible.
Oh, my God, no.
Well, I'm just saying it happens sometimes, and it makes you irritable.
What are you talking about?
Anyways, we're moving on.
I wanted to give some shout outs to some of the best on social media that I saw, though, is Andre, who used to be a matchmaker for Donna Frio and stuff.
Yeah.
He posted something really cool. He said that it's not that Ronda Rousey lost, it's how she lost.
Mm-hmm.
She was exposed as basically a novice with one game plan. And then when it failed, she had no backup, no head movement, no answer to the southpaw left hand, following a puncher around the cage, floundering. She will never be the same. And if she rematches Holly Holm 10 times, the same outcome will happen all 10.
Thank you.
I disagree on that. But yes, following a puncher around when you're getting lit up and you're running into the punches, how bad is that, Barnes?
That makes it twice as bad. You're running into it. Exactly. Like, not only did you get caught on the end, but you're like, hey, you know what? I really want that.
I don't know. I think it was a couple – I don't know if you guys talked about it or not, but we kind of shared it amongst ourselves a couple weeks ago. Was like the fastest knockout in history of 4 seconds. Where like so the bell rings and it was boxing. Boxer like charges at his opponent. My man just kind of steps aside and holds his fist up. My man runs into his fist, falls down, knocked out.
Yeah.
So you end up with more, like, you put your momentum of running behind the momentum of a fist coming at you, and right?
Yeah.
I mean,
think of it as like a tide. You know, you're like you're trying to jump over the waves.
It's like a head-on collision with.
But then it hits
the thing is like there. I mean, but I don't recall like the equation and all that. But like it, like in physics, like you can take like the momentum of like you going at something and something coming at you and hitting. Like it's like exponentially larger.
Yeah.
It's not just like twice as bad. It's like 16 times as bad.
Why do you think, you know, like a big thing in boxing is like you work on your timing?
Right.
There's a reason why you work on your timing.
Stay off the tracks. Not run, run towards the train.
Now, Joe Rogan pointed out about people hating on Ronda Rousey and basically coming out and saying that these people are wrong. But then I found somebody, a guy by Nathan Palmer, don't know him, just saw it on a book screenshot it. And this is why people allegedly hate her. And these are all alleged things. But you can understand the hate. And for Joe Rogan to say, you guys don't know. Well, this is what people perceive out there. Nathan Palmer, and these are his words, not the undercards. I wanted to see her lose. I won't lie about that. It's not because I don't like MMA. I don't, but that's not why. I wanted to see Ronda lose because she has been painted as a media darling and role model for young girls. She's fake. How is this for a role model? She's beaten up at least one boyfriend. She claims it was self-defense. Maybe it was, but let's not applaud her for it either.
She is trying to be like Floyd.
If the shoe was on the other foot, if the shoe was on the other foot, it would be domestic abuse. No matter the reason, she's dating a married man who is being investigated for domestic abuse, but has the audacity to call out Floyd Mayweather Jr. on it. People around her have said her head is too big and she's unbearable. I've heard that before. She made it big and had to work as a waitress. She said she would spit in drinks. Some of this may be hearsay, but I'm not hearing much in the way of positivity when her name comes up. That not even getting into the behavior before the fight with Holm. So a lot of people were angry with her or don't like her. So they're happy she loses.
Well, right. You know, like,
haters going to hate, though.
She was trying to be, like, the badass, though. Like, regardless of her image, she wanted to be, like, the badass chick, which she was, but I don't know. It just doesn't work as well for, like, you look at, like, a woman, you're like, oh, okay, you're a badass, but you have to be, like, a nasty, raunchy badass. You're going to spit in people's drinks. Like, eh.
Right.
Allegedly. He said it, but not us. But, yeah, no question her behavior, though, at weigh-ins was maybe over the top. Got right into Holly's face as Holly's taking a drink and everyone's like, oh, typical Ronda, bullying. But when you lose like that, I say it now, the invincibility is gone. If she comes back and she's a good fighter, she'll lose a couple more along the way. People will no longer be scared of her. Yeah. And you don't have a reason to be.
True.
Biggest loser of the night, I posted on Facebook, Cyborg. Now, UFC doesn't even have to touch her. Nope. They'll be like, you stay away, steroid person. You know, like, we don't need you in Cyborg, I read, and she's like ripping on Ronda. I was like, do you realize how many dollars just flew out your window? Like, you should have rooted for Ronda to take on everybody until Dana's like, we have to have you come in.
Right.
She was just like, oh, ha, 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 ha. And I'm like, no, ha, ha, you.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll never be in the UFC. No. Like, you're done. You're absolutely done.
One of the boxer friends of ours had said something, or she's MMA boxer, she does both, and she had mentioned that she was happy that she had a loss earlier in her career, that she's not going to have that stigma that maybe Ronda had, you know,
I think as
being like, well, I'm going to be undefeated. You don't have to worry about that, you know, if you get that early. And you think that could have changed her persona?
I don't know.
I know who you're talking about, and I feel like they're a different, totally different type of person, though. You know
they
what I mean?
Are,
like,
but that's what I'm saying. Do you think that a loss earlier in her career would have changed how she ended up in the media? Or do you think that being the undefeated one and how she would finish her fight?
I don't think she would have been the same in the media at all. Like, if she lost early, no. Probably not.
Okay, now that she's lost to Holly, can Turtle beat her now?
Oh.
Turtle from Entourage.
Who?
Turtle from Entourage.
I think you're
Turtle.
Oh, I don't. I think you're.
Yeah,
the only,
I forgot.
I think you're the only. Person
I don't watch
this
Entourage.
Yeah, I think you're
so
the only person in this room who saw that.
No, yeah, because I don't watch Entourage, so I had no idea who Turtle was.
Entourage
yeah.
is awesome.
Yes, thank you.
Okay,
awesome.
Remember, they don't think it's awesome when you need to pick your Entourage when you're WBC champion.
Right.
Just leave their application out the door.
An entourage is awesome. However, I think the show Entourage,
yeah, there's a difference.
It started off good, and I think it got they started stretching it too much.
You guys already flubbed it. We'll wave at you in the line.
Yeah,
at the
all right,
clubs.
There you go. All right,
all right. Let's go to our first music break, and then we'll be back, and we'll cover more.
Despite its large bulbous head, its brain.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard Hand Combat Radio.
Oh my
god. We're about waiting. Rochelle does not believe in countdowns. How long have we been back? Because we're sitting around here like nothing, and Brad's like, are we back? And Rochelle's like, oh yeah, and like just points. So I don't know how long y'all have been listening to us chew.
I had the mics off for that.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm like shoving popcorn in my mouth like I'm dying tomorrow.
No. Welcome back to episode 165. At 8:30, the boys
it's
will
8:30
be
already?
No, at 8:30, you guys will be interviewing Brandon McLaughlin, who fights Ruben out in Lansing, Michigan. So you guys are going to be doing that at the 8:30 mark.
Where are you going to be, Brad?
Going to be going to see Roger Klein and the Peacemakers. It's like a tradition.
Okay, well,
In Ferndale, and so yeah.
Good you times. Heard it here first, folks. Brad values that concert more than our fans.
No, no, no. I love you guys, but we gotta go.
But we gotta go. Sorry.
How convenient, though. It's like two blocks away at the Magic Bag Theater. Nice. Which, yeah, the Magic Bag Theater got a new sign. You gotta see the marquee. It's really pretty.
I did see it, yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty. Yeah.
It's nice. Good job. That's always one of my favorite places to see a concert.
Magic Bag, bring back Gaelic Storm. I want to see them again. I haven't seen them in a couple years.
Aren't they big time now? Aren't they at Fox Theater?
Storm?
I believe so.
Really?
I think they're big time
there.
Somebody's big time.
I'm not talking about Celtic Storm or like I'm talking about Gaelic Storm is like they're like a pub band.
No, he's thinking Celtic.
You're thinking Celtic Storm. Gaelic Storm are like a pub band.
No, that's definitely not it.
Yeah.
No. So big weekend boxing coming up. Jimmy is begging for Miguel Cotto versus Canelo Alvarez talk. I agree though, buddy. So I'm excited about this fight. I know Anthony Barnes was like, hey, everybody's talking Ronda, but now the fight I want to see is Cotto.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, big news, Cotto too. Canelo. What just happened with Cotto?
What just happened, Jimmy? Are you talking breaking news?
He got stripped.
He got stripped.
He got stripped of his WBC belt. No,
stop that.
Don't work.
Don't ever do that again.
He got stripped because he's not going to pay an extra $300,000.
When you say stripped, do you mean naked?
No, well, he no longer holds the belt.
So he loses his belt because he didn't pay money?
Yes, because there's sanctioning fees.
Right.
Okay. So he paid $800,000 to Golovkin because it's a set aside, I'm not going to fight you.
I thought it was a step aside.
Well, set.
I'm trying to get the terminology right.
Wait, so he's paying him to not fight?
Well, because the fight of Canelo, which is going to be very lucrative, was there. So you got to pay that fighter who's the number one challenger money, so he doesn't take it. So he had already paid $800,000 to Golovkin.
Uh-huh.
And then the WBC said, well, now you owe $300,000 for the sanctioning fees, you know, for this fight. Mm-hmm. Canelo put his $300,000 up, but Cotto's camp, reported by other news sources, thought that was excessive after he paid $800,000 to there. So he will not be a WBC champion step in the ring. They will recognize him as the lineal champion, which means he beat the guy who was the guy. Okay. But he is not WBC. And to my understanding, if he wins, he will not get the WBC belt.
That is
it will
what
be
they said, yes.
Canelo.
Well, he won't win.
Yep.
Well, Canelo has an opportunity to win it.
Wait, hold on. All right, back up. Hold on. All right, say that again. I'm sorry. So if he wins,
he doesn't get the belt.
He doesn't get the belt back.
Okay.
So if Canelo wins, he gets the belt.
But if Cotto wins,
he does not get the belt back.
Nothing like
right.
Is out there.
The belt will be vacated.
Gotcha.
They both get sanctioning fees.
Right.
Okay.
And I'm just gonna be conspiracy theorist guy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Cotto didn't want the next challenger after Canelo if he's able to squeak by anyway. So this gives him an excuse to not fight that guy. And maybe this is like. Planned accounting.
That's the guy he paid $800,000.
Not to fight.
That's a lot, right?
Like,
yeah.
Right.
Like here's the thing. I never want to fight Barnes, right? Okay. But if Barnes walked up and said, pay me $1,000 or we're fighting, I'm just gonna take my lickings.
Right.
Like, I'm not paying Barnes $1,000 to not beat the shit out of me.
Right.
I'm just gonna have to take it.
Really?
I'm not paying that's $1,000. Well, I mean, I was putting it in like
terms.
Like the actual dollar amount. I was like, oh, wow, I know a guy that can get you a fight.
I know a guy who knows that.
Like, my point is, like I don't want to fight you. Yeah. But, like, at some point, like, it becomes an excessive amount of money where I just go, no, I'm just going to have to take the ass whooping.
You have to fight on Quinder Street before you ever fight at the Joe Louis Arena. Just to let you know.
Well, I'm just like, I meant, like, in any fight. I'm not talking about, I don't ever want Barnes to punch me is the point that I'm trying to make. So
my theory, and I don't know, no source, just throwing it out there, I think Cotto, if he thinks he can beat Canelo, which he probably does because most fighters don't enter into a fight unless they think they can, he doesn't want the next step, which would be something Golovkin or even more dangerous. So this gives him an excuse. And nowadays, and Barnes is so young, nowadays titles don't mean anything to boxers. How many did Floyd Mayweather give up to move to a different class to fight?
But I'd say he got stripped of that WBA title because he didn't pay sanctioning fees after the Pacquiao fight.
Right. So, and these fees are important because this kind of helps the whole shindig.
So, there is not nearly enough money in box.
Well, I was going to say,
part of the money.
Explain to me why a fighter has to pay a sanctioning fee.
And why that sanctioning fee is $300,000.
Yes, it goes off percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Percentage of what?
Of your purse.
Okay.
So a percentage of the purse that you're going to make for the fight goes to the sanctioning fee. So if you have a low purse, you have a low sanctioning fee.
Yes.
Okay. So it's not $300,000 every time.
Sometimes sanctioning bodies will actually waive the fee because you might not have enough money in the fight. Mm-hmm. And they just want you to have the title.
Okay. I got gotcha.
Help their sanctioning. Okay. You know, their sanctioning.
Do we know, do we know what the percentage of what this percentage was?
You can find out online.
Yeah, you can find out online easily. But Cotto, probably after paying that much, and like I said, doesn't want the next challenger. This was the route they're going to go. You think it's going to be much of a distraction to Cotto? Probably not. No. Like I said, defending belts anymore doesn't matter to pro boxers anymore. They jump around. They jump weight classes. They try to collect belts is what they do.
I don't know. I'd love to fight for a title and keep it.
And defend it forever? You're old school. Most people don't want. They want to jump around and collect.
I mean, I get it, but like... I don't know. Like I think Triple G should fight every single person at 160 pounds, not catch weights, like 156 or whatever the whole Cotto Canelo thing is at.
155.
Whoa, 155. Wait a second here.
Yeah,
catch
exactly.
weight.
That's
155.
That's middleweight now. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that's fine. You can fight 55 if you want, but Triple G is a champion. And I'm sure he wants to fight every single middleweight title holder, Andy Lee and whoever, you know, Cotto, whatever. And I think you should fight him at 160, and I think you should win all the titles, all the belts in your weight class, and then go on to a new one, different one. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just, why not be like the linear, like reigning, like undisputed champion?
Because Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao and people of that sort have made it cool to have belts. I remember the first Manny Pacquiao picture I saw where he had multiple belts of the same organization. And then Floyd Mayweather, you've all seen his table that he posts. Those are all WBC champions all over the place.
Right.
Collecting belts is the new thing. Defending isn't as honorable as possible. Floyd had a lot of problems with keeping up with how often they wanted him to fight back in the day, too. Right. You know, here's the guy that was fighting once a year, now was back up to two times a year. That's interesting news. The other picture of Canelo is out there where he looks very... sunken in face, looks like he's cutting weight for this, but Barnes, you can verify as a pro boxer, this is part of their lifestyle. So people are like, oh, Canelo looks horrible, so I'm going to go Cotto. Don't weigh it. If he's comfortable that's the way he does it and he's comfortable,
you know,
fine.
Everyone's like, you know, they're kidding themselves if they don't think he's a full-blown middleweight. He is. He's a big boy.
Right.
Yeah, so he's going to rehydrate. At least 176, I'd say.
The catch weight advantage, Cotto or Canelo, 155.
Honestly,
because Cotto can get big.
Yeah, Cotto can get big. I know that. Like Canelo, I boxed Cotto when he was pretty big. You know what I mean? In camp, and honestly, I'm gonna just have to go with Canelo now. Like I know before I was like, oh, Cotto, but
right.
The more I think about it, you know, he's definitely at the end of his career. He's a new promoter, right? And he got a large contract. With only a few fights on it. So, I mean, why not get those big, big money fights and then step away from the sport? And I think that's on his mind. Canelo's young. He's not looking to step away from the
sport.
He's
no Sergio Martinez on a broken leg.
No.
I'll tell you that.
So
he's in trouble.
Yeah.
I really think so. I'll pick Canelo. But if Cotto wins,
I think Canelo wants to be the next face of boxing.
Mm.
You know, I really
I know Rochelle would like that.
And my sister and everyone.
Yeah. Knows, so. Okay, I got a question.
Mexican ginger.
I'm a little confused here because I'm looking up at the WBO regulations, and under sanctioning fees for the champion and the challenger, it says in section A, subsection 1, 3% of their purse with a minimum of $1,000 and a maximum of $200,000. And everything that I see down there, it says maximum of 200,000.
Now, like, I wonder if it depends. Because, like, I'm sure there's, like, maybe from, like, purse from, like, A to B. Like, I mean, is there anything above and beyond?
No, and that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at everything. The maximum that I've seen on anything here has been up to $200,000, nothing more. Really? So I'm very curious on where this $300,000 came from.
That was just like an extra 100 grand you throw in there just to make sure that he doesn't have to fight Triple G.
No, they already paid that. I mean, though.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Oh,
I mean,
you already paid.
I guess like some sanctioning bodies, like I believe, don't quote me, but I was reading on the IBO, right, and they had like from any purse that was like from this dollar amount to this dollar amount was this percentage, and then they have a different bracket for things like this.
Well, this says it's for the sanctioning bodies recognized by the WBO, the WBA, the IBF, and the WBC, which is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, it says it's 3% of the purse with a minimum of $1,000 and a maximum of $200,000 per boxer. Going through unified championships, unification championships, everything, and it says the maximum is $200,000.
You know what? I don't think both camps actually have to pay that, do they?
No, Canelo, in the article I read, it said Canelo had paid his.
Yeah, he paid whatever it was that he had to pay.
Canelo, by the way, we have a ring girl, Kirsten. I said it right.
Yeah, good job.
You said the ear thing, and it's been working so far. He's the Mexican James Dean. You should pull up a picture for her and see if she likes
him.
Yeah, I
gotta check this out.
I can do that.
The Mexican James Dean. Well, that's why they sell him as.
I mean,
right,
let's give my phone that's over my there. First choice.
Yeah.
Rochelle has a picture of him in her bra.
He is a ginger Mexican, though. Redhead, which is rare.
Yeah.
But people love it, and that's where Canelo, the color red, comes from. His name is actually Saul.
Saul
Canelo Alvarez. But I'm excited about this fight. I've been waiting for this fight, I think, for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, 6 months. After the Kirkland fight with Canelo, even though Kirkland didn't have the right trainer, blah, 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 I've always thought that Canelo, just because he fought so many times at such a young age and now is probably peaking right now, he could be just a force. And he doesn't seem scared of people, which is good. You know, he just wants to fight, get out there, do what he's got to do, and rock and roll, dude. He doesn't seem much into the negotiations or anything like that. It's just like, get me the fight and go. I rank Canelo a lot higher on my pound for pound.
You see her face?
He's beautiful, isn't he?
Can we get him in studio?
I wish. I have interviewed him before.
She gave a very similar to what Rogan did when. She either likes Saul or she just pooped her pants. We're not sure which.
I think she may have
not pooped her pants, but she definitely flooded her basement. I can tell you that right now.
No.
Sploosh. Yes, exactly.
Horrible.
He is a handsome
gorgeous.
Man.
Yeah,
he is.
He likes shoes.
Me too. We can be friends.
Shits. Well, and he's a boxer, so he likes belts and purses too. So you girls are set.
Let's go.
Belts, purses, and shoes.
Yeah, and he will always have my respect because when I was with the press conference of the one, I caught him perfect because he was in a great mood and answered every question. And then I caught Floyd Mayweather after I had interviewed Oscar De La Hoya, and Floyd was not in the best. So I was like, you know. But I had the opportunity to – they divided the media into sides. They're like, you want to go Canelo first or do you want to go Mayweather? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'll go Mayweather last to get the last question with Mayweather. And that didn't work out. But Canelo was absolutely awesome. So, you know.
He seems like a really nice guy.
Well, he speaks Mexican, so you got to go through Spanish.
Or Spanish. He doesn't speak Mexican.
There's a drop right there for you.
He speaks Mexican.
Of course.
I don't know. He's some kind of Mexican.
I'll tell you what. He speaks.
He doesn't
doesn't
speak American. I can tell you that right
unlike
now.
Unlike Cotto, who speaks that Puerto Rican Mexican.
So,
hey, though, you gotta look at it.
Wait a minute, which kind of he's Puerto Rican Mexican, right? Which Mexican is he? You got Irish Mexican, Puerto Rican Mexican.
So he speaks Spanish, and you gotta go through a translator. I'll put it on track. I only got a few more minutes here.
Yeah, go ahead.
But no, so you go through a translator, so that makes the interview a little bit more difficult,
right?
So, but of course, he's like,
I think maybe
really
what
nice
makes
guy. I mean. You got to think about it. He's a year or two older than me.
He's 24, isn't he? 20. Oh, wait, look it up. 20.
I think he's like 25.
25?
Wait, Canelo is 24, 25?
Yeah, he's young.
He looks like he's 40.
No, he doesn't.
No.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Canelo does not.
No.
Yes, Kirsten. He does. How old does he look?
He looks the perfect age.
There you go.
That's right.
Okay, so he's my age, realistically, and he's getting millions of dollars every time he steps foot in the ring. Like, I'd be happy, guys.
He's 25.
25, so he's a year older than me. Yeah. A year older. Yep.
Wow.
Born July 18th.
He's a daddy.
So let's go around and do our picks. I'm going to take Canelo. What do you want to do, Jimmy?
I'm going to take Canelo.
Ditto.
Marv.
Ditto.
Yep.
And we know what the ladies are going to pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't even show her a picture of Cotto. But trust me, Cotto's not good looking.
Cotto is actually 10 years older than Canelo. He's 35.
I don't care.
And I know. I'm just saying. That's an interesting factor.
And I can't. And why I can't pick Cotto, and I'm going to give you the exact reason. I remember the images of him leaving the ring crying because his kids were crying. And he was a defeated man, and I know he has Freddie Roach and everything like that, but I believe this could be a very short night. I believe Canelo could probably end this pretty quick.
I was going to say, do you want to call around?
Yeah.
Under six.
Under six? Okay.
Under six, I do.
I'm going to go eight.
Eight? Okay, I see Barnes over here.
Just because you want to see him a longer time in the ring, all sweaty and everything.
Right.
That's why you're taking.
Yeah.
Wrong
with that. All right. So what do you say, Barnes?
Okay. I'm not going to put a round out there.
I said under six. I didn't pick a round.
I'm not crazy, but like if it does get stopped, it's going to be. I think it's a little bit later after six, though. Because the only reason I say that is because Cotto can take punishment. All right. Not saying he's going to get punished. But I don't know. He's definitely going to lose. Probably, maybe. I don't know.
But
the only reason I say this is because Canelo isn't like that one punch knockout. Yes, he knocked out Kirkland, looked very impressive and everything, but he throws his best shots are combinations. He puts punches together really well. So you build up the the damage and stuff.
Right. I'm going to say, but don't you think like maybe by the sixth round you'd have worn Cotto down enough?
Cotto has so much experience.
Okay.
Now they both have like a lot of experience, but like I think that his is 100% world class experience all the way. Like,
so you think decision?
You think it's going to go? I was going to say, do you think it's going to go all the way or
ref stoppage? What are you thinking?
I could see ref stoppage.
Okay.
I don't see
after six ref stoppage, but you don't see it going to the decision.
It's possible, but I don't think so.
Okay.
Okay. I
mean, who cuts down the ring better? Canelo looked really good with Kirkland. Like a lot of it was cutting down the ring.
Kirkland's such a bad example.
Okay, let's. We can't do the Mayweather, but let's do any Canelo fight.
Realistically, he moves really well. He does. He moves well.
Looks faster on video.
He looks fast. I mean, he has good footwork and decent timing, and I think it's all that really matters to fight Cotto, honestly. So I don't know. I think ref stoppage after six.
Wow.
All right. Not bad. And I know the girls want Canelo for obvious reasons.
For as long as...
No.
They want him as long as possible.
I gave legitimate reasons why I wanted him to beat Mayweather. And that was the first fight I had seen him do.
Because Mayweather's a dick.
And you know what?
There's that.
Well, that's that. Yeah. But no, I mean, it all goes back to watching those 24/7s.
You know what? In realize this, because this is just a prediction of what I think is going to happen. Realize how slow Canelo looked. You remember when he threw and he hit the ropes and Mayweather looked?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe look how Cotto looks slow compared to Canelo.
Okay,
and then just that will give you an idea of how good Mayweather is.
Just because he was trying to load up a little bit, like, oh, if I'm going to hit him, I want it to count.
Could be,
I
mean, I think Canelo's has really worked on his timing and speed, and I think that loss was the ideal loss for Canelo because he's not supposed to win it. You won a lot of money,
It got him exposure.
Exactly. If you didn't know Canelo before, then you knew Canelo.
And he's getting better and better.
He is. He's so young. I mean, he's your age, and you're getting better and better.
Exactly. So I mean, he's going to continue to learn. Like, he's going to continue to learn.
Yeah, it's not like Mayweather's going to knock you out. It was not a dangerous fight to take. You made money. I know Oscar De La Hoya thought for sure Canelo was going to win. But Oscar's always behind his guys, and you know I know Oscar thinks Canelo's going to be Cotto now and everything like that. But exciting week in boxing, and the coming weeks we have Tyson Fury going against Klitschko. Mm-hmm. That's coming up again, the rescheduling.
Sounds like a sequel. Tyson Fury versus the rescheduling.
You guys all know Tyson was named after Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I know.
Just making sure. We were talking Tyson earlier.
I thought he was named after that chicken company.
Tyson
guys,
Chicken.
Who do you guys pick for that?
God. You know what? I'm not going to pick against Klitschko, so I'll say Tyson Fury probably loses by this. Well, no, he's got weak chin. I don't know. I know you like Tyson Fury.
They both kind of have weak chin.
Yeah.
I like Klitschko, though, too. His basics are so good.
I'm going to take Klitschko on that one.
I'm going to draw a name out of a hat.
I'm going to take a nap during that one.
it's amazing to me. No one cares about that.
I'm
going to
go with Tyson Fury.
Yeah. You got to go to something.uk to have any press on that.
Yeah.
You search anything in the States, no one cares. They're like, heavyweight championship.
Yeah, I mean, they're not from here. Neither of them are.
So. All right, so let me ask Barnes this. You know, Deontay Wilder, could he beat Tyson Fury?
No.
So he has no shot against Klitschko, then.
I don't really like Wilder. And definitely not. Definitely not against Klitschko, for sure. Like, Tyson Fury is questionable because you haven't seen him, like, against the Klitschkos or anything like that. But Wilder is not that good. I mean, he's good, but he's not there yet. He shouldn't have a world title there.
Barnes just hit me. I'm suing. No, Barnes just hit me.
You're not going to get a
whole lot. No, those right there, those are registered lethal weapons.
That's right. We already talked about that.
Yep. I'm going to tell everybody I took a hit from Barnes and still standing.
Deontay would be top three, though. Heavyweight.
I don't know. I mean, I guess.
I just don't
like the way he boxes.
But you know how everybody's like, people are getting bigger, stronger, faster?
He's huge.
If you watch the Chasing Tyson thing in Holyfield.
Like, no, I said he's huge.
Standing next to Holyfield, and then we have picture evidence of me standing next to Tyson. I believe I have Tyson by a couple inches, maybe.
Close, yeah.
These guys are huge. Heavyweight division is totally different than what I grew up on, dude.
He's almost 7 feet tall. He's 6'9".
He sent me over to him once, and to talk to him, and I was like staring at the ceiling. I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Bradley also just named two of the shortest, like, smallest heavyweights, like, in history, like Mike Tyson and Holyfield, like, not the biggest heavyweights, even during their time. So,
all I know is Tyson shakes your hand, it swallows it.
Okay, Lennox Lewis, what's he stand? 6'5"?
He's a pretty big dude.
Yeah, but he's not Klitschko big, I don't believe. You have to look it up.
I think he is Klitschko
big. Is he big?
Yeah.
Isn't Klitschko 6'7"?
6'7", and then you got Tyson Fury at 6'8"? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Lennox Lewis is 6'5".
I was right, exactly on the mark.
So he has...
Wrong about Mexicans talking.
So Tyson has him by 4 inches.
What is Klitschko?
Klitschko...
Do you know how to spell it?
IT.
IT in the D on Monday nights.
Klitschko is 6'6".
Okay, I said 6'7". That's close. Yeah, he doesn't get to pick a prize off my prize wall.
Still, 6'9". I guess they're close enough. Huge.
Okay, and then what was the other one we were looking at?
Wilder's last fight was not.
I believe Fury is 6'7" or 6'8" or 6'6".
I was shadow boxing with him in the ring. He is huge.
I just wanted to check. Andre the Giant was 7'4". I just wanted to check that. So
say what again?
I said I just wanted to check. Andre the Giant was 7'4", so he's still taller, but.
I think heavyweights are bigger now.
Oh, maybe. No, definitely. For sure. I mean, compare, like, Muhammad Ali. Like,
they've been eating their chicken McNuggets.
One more time, look up Larry Holmes and George Foreman for me. Give me the exact heights. I think I know, but I don't want to throw
Muhammad
it out.
Ali was 6'3". Oh, who are we looking at?
No. Holmes. I'm talking Larry Holmes, who Tyson fought and won later in his career. And I want to know the exact height of, what was the other one I gave him?
Larry Holmes is 6'3".
Okay. And that was considered a big size difference.
Oh, yeah, he's a
big boy. And Leonard. Who else?
Who'd I pick next?
Lennox Lewis was 6'5".
George Foreman. What were you saying? George Foreman was huge. Even back in the younger days when he didn't look like the guy selling chicken.
George Foreman's 6'4".
So, I mean, they're getting bigger. So
yeah, for sure.
And I'm trying to think, like, Sugar Ray Leonard, right? He's a very small for what people are now. Like, you know... I think everyone's getting bigger.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there. It's observation.
Yeah, Sugar Ray Leonard's only 5'10".
We're talking about Klitschko versus Tyson. Our good friend of the show, Rick Pratt, was saying that...
He was 5'10".
What'd Rick say?
Rick was saying that he believes Klitschko is going to clutch and dance and not let Fury get any momentum. Do you think that's true?
It's possible. I mean, he likes to clutch, but he'd be clutching somebody a lot bigger than Povetkin. So, like, I mean, it's going to be tough to – Fury's a big guy.
Yeah.
I've heard stories about Fury being very strong. So –
What do you think, Burns?
Like,
Rick said that he believes Klitschko is going to clutch and dance and not let Fury get any momentum.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean –
Who's ref in the fight?
Cuddle.
I mean,
he does.
No, I'm being honest. Who's ref in the fight? Can someone look that up?
Let me find out.
But he's smart, though. I mean, what can you do? Like, the ref has to break you up, or I mean,
why I'm curious. The ref, because it matters on the fight. If he's allowed to hold Tyson, yeah, shit.
It's
12 rounds.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Have they announced the ref yet?
They should have. It's pretty well. They probably announced it the first time. It was probably a carryover.
Oh yeah, because it was rescheduled.
Yeah, it got rescheduled. It really depends on that.
I will say this though: if Tyson Fury beats Klitschko, I think that the heavyweight division will be a lot more exciting. I think because he talks so much shit. I think it's going to pick up over here. You know
I think Tyson Fury could sell out a Boston, new Boston Garden. I think he could sell out Madison Square Garden.
And where is
at
he
least,
from?
If anything, bring more attention to it.
He's from Ireland.
Okay.
Or actually, he was born UK, but then Irish, right?
Yeah.
Or is that Andy Lee that was born UK? Andy Lee was born UK.
Andy was.
I'm confusing fighters now.
Yeah, they're cousins. It's fine.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's coming up. So there's a lot of boxing. And then you guys are going to talk a little bit later about the PBC. I'll be gone, but the PBC main event. I still haven't seen, but I got to rewatch. Anthony's been mad at me that I've not watched it yet.
Mike Seals, Edwin Rodriguez, amazing fight.
Well, you guys talk about that after the Brandon McLaughlin thing. We're going to go to our last song break. I want to thank everybody that is here. You guys do the thank yous a little bit later.
Yep.
And we'll see everybody in a few minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Good God.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Yay.
You had the hand up, but I was waiting for the
ball.
Well,
here's the thing. I was like, wait a minute. I don't need to cue him. I can just start talking.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
we're back. Episode 165.
So the cat is away.
Yeah, I know.
Brad has left myself, Barnes, and Jimmy, and Kirsten, all by ourselves.
That's
here in
right.
the studio.
The inmates
so,
run the asylum.
Yes, they do. So the rest of the show, the rest of the show will be about I don't know.
Let's party.
I don't know. We'll go back to talking about Jimmy and Clown College, maybe.
No. We got Brandon McLaughlin.
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 McLaughlin is Sarah. She's saying.
Yeah, I know. And McLaughlin, Brandon, I 100% apologize. I will always butcher your last name. I will try, but I will butcher your last name. We got him coming up. He's going to be calling into the show. He's got a fight coming up this Saturday in Lansing. I believe it's TWC. He'll be fighting Ruben Bariak. And so we're going to be talking to him about that. I will be going out there to watch the fights. Brad will be watching the Cotto Canelo fight, so he will not be out there. So I'll be representing the undercard. We've seen Brandon fight a couple times. We've had him on the show. So good friend of the show. Glad to have him on again. I'm looking forward to seeing his fight.
Indeed.
Yeah. And we were just over the break. Barnes and I were kind of revisiting the PBC fight that we were going to talk about a little bit later. Looking it up on YouTube. It was a great fight. You say their names, Barnes, because I'm going to...
Edwin Rodriguez and Mike Seals.
Mike Seals and Edwin, yes. And it was a great fight. I just happened to catch it on the TV, and it's kind of one of those things where I'm flipping through the channels, and if like UFC's on or I see PBC or World Champion Boxing, I'm like, all right, let me watch that. And I watch this fight, and I'm like, wow, this is a really good fight. But I never know, like, when I'm watching it, like, how long ago it took place. So I was like, okay, this might have been a two-year-ago fight, so I didn't say anything. Yeah. And then Barnes is like, you see the fight? And we're like, I'm like, yeah. He's like, it was a great fight. I'm like, yeah, it was a great fight. And apparently it just happened.
Yeah.
I'm that way with Ancient Alien shows. I'm flipping through. I have to watch Ancient Alien shows?
Yeah, Ancient Alien shows.
Yeah.
They do. They're really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Ancient Alien Astronaut Theorists.
Aliens. Yeah. Well, did you ever see the Aquatic Ape?
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
That one's actually pretty good.
Here's what I'm very excited about.
So it was this Discovery, not Discovery Channel, but
it's
National
their
Geographic
channel. Yeah,
yeah. Like, but basically, they made this documentary that seemed like 100% legitimate. They were talking about this aquatic ape theory, which is complete and utter BS. But basically, it was how mermaids are. Like, it was this theory that they completely made up for this show, presented it like it was an actual legitimate like documentary. And it was about like how when the simians evolved, half of the simians evolved on land and the other half evolved in the water, and they were called the aquatic apes.
That's nonsense, but Bigfoot is real.
Bigfoot is absolutely real.
And so is the Loch Ness Monster.
No, the Loch Ness Monster is not real, but
it is real. No.
Bigfoot is absolutely real.
100%. No, it is not.
Bigfoot is real. No, it's an interdimensional creature. And stop pounding the table. Every single microphone is picking that up. They are an interdimensional creature.
No.
They are higher evolved than we
I
are.
Know for a fact that Yeti exists.
Well, that's a Bigfoot.
No, it's a different. Yeti's a little bit different.
No, it's simply it's a species of Bigfoot.
But I know Yetis exist because he was my supply sergeant in the military.
Yeah. I have on my GPS I downloaded the Yeti, like you can get the different voices. And I downloaded the Yeti. All it is grunts. Like, it doesn't tell you, you know, like, it doesn't actually say, like, turn right. It'll just be like, and you're like, I guess I'm going to turn here.
Which way do I go?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That's funny. Is Brandon called in yet?
No, he is not. So Kirsten's here with us.
Yeah.
What's up, Detroit?
What's going on? Where have you been?
Hanging out with y'all.
Well, you haven't, though. Well, actually, I haven't been here a couple weeks.
But see, she's at all the events you don't go to.
You know what, Jimmy? Yeah, you bring this up all the time. It's not my fault. I have a better contract than you.
I go to the events.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm your stand-in.
He is. Barnes has turned into your stand-in.
Yeah, Barnes is my stunt double.
Yeah. that actually makes a lot of sense. That actually does make a lot of sense.
It absolutely does. So, Brandon, if you're listening, feel free to call in anytime.
I do want to go back while we're waiting on Brandon to call. I do want to go back when we were talking about Rhonda.
Yeah.
And you feel free to jump in. But former WWE wrestler Taz actually went on record as saying that the Ronda Rousey Holly Holm fight was fixed. And here's why he says
What is his evidence?
It's not wrestling.
Well, no. But this is what
he
said.
He's confused.
Okay.
It's to me, man.
But Ronda Rousey said prior to UFC 193 that she had a desire to disappear for a while, but she still held the belt. And the UFC would not want a championship belt to basically disappear for a while
because
that's bad for business. So his theory is that Holly wasn't in on it. Rousey was in on it, and so was Dana White.
Yeah.
But nobody else was in on it, and Dana basically said, let Holly win. The problem with that was, if you watch the fight, there are so many other times that Ronda could have just said, oh, she hit me hard enough, I'm going to go down. But she kept trying, and
let's get totally hypothetical, and let's, you know, if this is what happened, I think Holm was in on it. And I think, as we talked about earlier, I mentioned this, I think Ronda let it slip then. If we're going to go conspiracy theory,
okay.
Ronda let it slip on Fallon.
The preacher's daughter would never.
When she said, she's going to kick me in the head.
Yeah.
She's going to kick me in the head. And then if you watch the clip, then she quickly said, but she's not going to do that. That's
right.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not going to allow her to do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you really want to go down the rabbit hole and say that it's a big conspiracy, then I would say she let it slip and then tried to cover it. Also, Dana White killed JFK. I'm right here.
If you're just going to throw that out.
He went back in time. He's a time traveler. Mm, he went back in time. Yeah. He was the gunman on the grassy knoll.
All right. Oh. What he said is – part of what he said is I'm telling you right now that the whole series was a work. Work means in on it. And I'm not sure who was in on it and who wasn't, but I know this much. The ref probably wasn't in on it. Maybe he was. I don't know. Rousey was in on it. And again, this is all my opinion. Holm might not have been in on it. So that's what – but, yeah, and anybody who watched the fights knows that that's not – first of all, it's not wrestling. You can have a champion. You can have a champion that's kind of taking a break for a while. And it doesn't hurt the sport. You're not going to make your money bag in Ronda Rousey take a dive just because she's going to take a break from it for a while.
So bad was she's a pillow over her face.
Right. I mean, well, okay. Well, then how about this? That wasn't Ronda Rousey at the airport then.
Oh, yes.
Oh. How deep do we want to go here?
How deep does the rabbit hole go?
She hit her face because it wasn't her. Maybe that wasn't even Ronda fighting in the ring.
No, that was definitely Rhonda.
Maybe that wasn't her. That's why she didn't look. That's why she didn't look as good as she normally does.
And real quick, what meme was your favorite? You said
my meme was so. There's the NWA Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
So the poster says Straight Outta Compton. It's a picture of Rhonda on the ground. It says Straight Outta Consciousness.
See, honestly, mine was Bill Cosby.
Yes! Oh, I forgot about that one. Yeah.
I did forget about that one. The Bill Cosby one was really good. Yeah.
Tell us what that was, Barnes.
Honestly, it was just Rhonda sleeping, when she got knocked out, and then a picture of Bill Cosby, twiddling his fingers.
Oh, no, that's not the one I'm thinking of is Bill Cosby on the setup. Phone. Oh. It's Rhonda, knocked out, and then the next thing down is Bill Cosby on the phone saying, can you tell me what hotel room Rhonda is in?
Hospital room she's in if she's still asleep.
Yep.
Yeah, they're all pretty good.
There were a ton of them. A ton of them. I also like how they use the Rousey when she's sitting up and she doesn't know where she is. After the Lions beat the Packers with the Packers shirt on, said Packer fans are like, "Wait, what just happened?"
Well, that was the thing too. I mean, I didn't see the game. I saw the last few minutes of the game, but I mean, how bad do the Packers have to be? Right? Like, you just got beat by the Detroit Lions. Bad enough. But the Detroit Lions with no front office, no offensive coaches.
Yeah, they do. They have Jim Bob Cooter.
He's like the assistant of the assistant
coach.
But the point is, they fired their offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
They fired their whole front office.
Yep.
The coach, is out of here. As soon as the regular season is over, he is gone.
Yep.
Right? And you got beat by them.
You got, and which also was a 1-6 record. Who had not beaten the Packers at Lambeau Field in 24 years.
That's right. Yeah.
We were talking about this online when this happened. We were all saying it. We were all freshmen the last time that the Lions beat the Packers at Lambeau Field. I mean, that's how long it's been.
Say it again.
It's been 24 years. Yeah.
What year was that?
1991
was the last.
I was born.
You were born.
Shut up, Barnes. Yeah.
So wait, no. To put it into context, Barnes was just born.
Yeah.
The last time he had spent his entire life never knowing the Lions beat the Packers at Lambeau Field and they beat them. And because I know Brad's such a huge Michigan fan, Michigan beat Tennessee. I mean, it should have never gone that far, but Michigan beat Tennessee in a second overtime drive.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a nail biter thing. Now, This past weekend, I mean, we were talking about the Rousey fight and the PBC fight, and but there was a big football weekend for me because I had my nephew who's 9, and he was playing in the Peanut Bowl for his division. They lost. Okay. And then my cousin's son, who was playing for Berkeley, they were playing for the regionals, and they ended up losing. But Michigan and the Lions won. And so it was kind of evened out. Yeah. So, yeah.
What do you speaking of Michigan, the last week they beat Rutgers 49-16.
Yes.
Did you apparently they beat them so badly. This is supposedly what happened was I guess Rutgers was giving Michigan crap in the tunnel. Because of, previous week, the state had beat them.
Oh, right.
And so Rutgers was, all about, you guys can't finish games. We're down by 19, but we're still going to take you, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So supposedly in the locker room, rather than just, telling them to just hold the lead and blah, 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 basically Harbaugh said, just run the points up. just do it. Just run them up. All over them. And so we're going to teach them a lesson.
Right, yeah.
And I can totally see him doing that.
right. So while we're waiting for Brandon to call in, Barnes, why don't we go over the PBC fight, Rodriguez versus Seals, tell me what you saw in the fight.
All right, well, what I saw in the fight – all right, so going into the fight.
And speak into the microphone.
And get close to the microphone.
There you go.
Rick. Yeah, and have you ever sparred with these guys before?
Yeah, I sparred with both of them.
Okay.
Edwin Rodriguez and when Andy Lee fought Chavez Jr. I was there for that camp, and so was Edwin. And I sparred with Mike Seals for Adonis Stevenson. I want to say it's when he fought Cloud. I'm not
okay.
sure. I don't know. One of the camps. Anyway, I sparred both of them. Both really good fighters. Both have a lot of experience. Edwin has a tougher, you know, opponents. You know, he fought the way tougher opponents.
And, okay.
Mike Seals, not as much. I mean, a lot more cushioned, you know, along the way. Sorry.
Oh, it's all right.
There was keep
some,
talking.
There
I'm sorry.
There was some behind-the-scenes stuff going on here.
I was like, oh, my gosh, what am I missing?
No. Whenever we do that, you just keep talking and pretend we're not talking to each other.
Well, sorry.
Right. Anyway. See that what we're doing is trying to make the show run smoothly, whereas you just brought it to a screeching halt.
Well, Brad left, so.
Yeah, it's true. Like, the wheels were off already. It's amazing we're actually still talking boxing. Normally when this happens, Jimmy and I just start talking Star Wars and stuff, and then it's done. We're just.
I was looking forward to, like, Bigfoot talk.
You know? Well, we can go back to Bigfoot talk.
We'll go back if we get within the last 5 minutes.
We have, like, 10 minutes left. Yeah. So.
All right, so continue.
So anyway, a fight went on. I thought Edwin was going to take control and finish out the fight. And, get the points, knockout, whatever. I thought he was going to win. So Mike Seals ended up knocking down Edwin Rodriguez first. Or no, second, right? Edwin knocked down Mike Seals.
Went down first, but it was more of a kind of a running trip.
Like an off-balance type thing. And then he came back and actually knocked down Edwin.
Yep.
In the first round.
Yep.
And then second round came. Let's see. Mike Seals against the ropes. He was shoulder rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Came back with the right hand and knocked down Edwin. And to the point where Edwin looked like...
He was out of it.
It was it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? There's no way the ref's going to call this.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised that it didn't stop right there.
Mike Seals was right in front of him, and Edwin turned to the side, was punching to the side. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no one was even there. So,
right. I see, like, three of them. Hit the one in the middle.
You know? And so I was like, oh, my gosh. He's, you know, that's going to be it. And then he got up and actually, in the third round, knocked out Mike Seals.
Yeah.
After a couple – there was four knockdowns total in the knockout,
yes.
I believe.
I believe you're right.
And that was within within three rounds.
Three rounds,
about 7 minutes of just nonstop.
I mean, and that was it. It was neither one of the guys backed off. They were both going at each other hardcore, both taking a lot of punishment. Like I said, I just happened to be flipping through and I saw this fight. And I was amazed, like, both of them, how much punishment they took, how much they both got knocked out. Like, I expected the fight to stop numerous times before it actually did stop. And I mean, that's probably one of the best fights I've seen in a very, very long time.
Yeah, honestly, like, for people who aren't into, like, the whole boxing, like, technique and all that, just want to see someone fight, if they want to see a fight, that was it.
Yep.
That
was exactly.
Fight you wanted to see.
That's what, and that's a, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the same type of thing that, you know, people deride Mayweather because he is a smart boxer. He doesn't fight like people want to see boxers fight, which is you stand there and you slug it out. Yeah, you know, there's technique and you do the shoulder rolls and you do stuff like that. But, you know, it's constant nonstop fighting. And Mayweather's not a fighter like that. These two guys, that was the kind of fight that you were watching.
They
put it all on the line.
I thought it was going to be like a good fight, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
But, you know, and I thought Edwin would take control. But like, I didn't know it was going to be like that.
Yeah.
Back and forth. There was nobody was in control.
I know. And that's the thing is, with the exception of the first, I'll call it a fall down, where Seals was kind of running away from Rodriguez and he kind of like tripped and fell, sprawled onto the ground. The rest of the times, I mean, when they went down, you know, and, I'm kind of surprised that it went as long as it did. I was expecting both of them. Every time one of them went down, I went, okay, that's it. And then, nope, they got back up,
you know, but you know what though? I think what made it, you know, they both fought so hard was because they're both at that point. Well, Edwin already fought for the world title against Ward,
right.
And lost, but, everyone expected him to lose against Ward because Ward's that smart, you know,
right.
He's that good. But they're at the point now where maybe they can get a fight with Adonis Stevenson. They're at the top levels, you know. They're ranked really highly, and you know, if they look good on TV on PBC, maybe they get the chance at the title, you know, at the light heavyweight title. So obviously they both had a lot on the line, so they really, you know, pushed it in training camp and in the fight. So
right. Yeah, it was a great fight. I mean, it's if you get a chance to watch it, huh? Why are you doing snoring? If you get a chance to watch it, it is on YouTube. You watch it, and I highly recommend that you watch that fight. Brandon hasn't called in yet.
No, he is okay. Not. He
so we're
we only have 5 minutes left.
Right. So what we're gonna talk a little bit here
about Bigfoot.
No. I just want to mention Total Warrior Combat this weekend in Lansing. It's a pro-am show. I believe the amateurs fight start at 4 and the pro fight start at 6.
This is a great card, too, if I'm not mistaken.
It is a great card. There's Brandon McLaughlin against Ruben. Both the cuppies, Connor and Corey, mm-hmm. are going to be fighting in it. There's I don't have the list in front of me right now, but there's a huge fight, you know, I mean, both the amateurs and the professionals. It's going to be a great fight out in Lansing. You can look it up, TotalWarriorCombatMMA.com, and they're going to be, like I said, and I'll be there this Saturday in Lansing representing the undercard and watching the fights. Depending on the Wi-Fi.
But don't let that stop you from going. Just because
I'm there.
Still going out.
Depending on the Wi-Fi there and my signal service, I will try to update as the fights are going. If I can't do that, then I'm just going to post the results on our Facebook page later on when I get home that night. We want to thank Activate Gaming, mm-hmm. Who's one of our sponsors, also Falling Down Beer Company. Yeah. I actually don't usually drink the beer, but I did have some of the Ninja Chicken tonight, and
that is good stuff.
It is good stuff. It is good stuff. It was and really good.
Jimmy is indeed falling down. So
I am well, but that has something to do with more of an inner ear.
Oh, problem. You got an inner ear problem. Yeah, we've all been there, Jimmy. Yeah. How's your Pete? What is your thing? What is your thing you do?
Oh, so Beachbody programs.
That's it.
But the program I'm doing currently is T25. Which is a Sean T thing. Sean T, he's the coach. Oh, he's the guy that does the video. So, like, you have Tony Horton, you have Shaleen.
I thought you were saying Ashanti.
No.
Like the singer, right? Like Ashanti. Like, it's an Ashanti thing. Like
Sean T. Yeah. So he's the one. The first program I started off with was Size. That was one of his.
Mm-hmm. Size doesn't matter, though, Jimmy.
I know. He does Insanity, T25, a bunch of the other ones.
All right.
But... since starting the whole thing from the beginning of September, I've lost 40 pounds. I've lost around 9 inches in total.
Wow.
But now it's getting kind of weird because I'm dropping like about a pound or two a week-ish.
Yeah.
But my measurements are getting different because as I'm gaining muscle, some things are going down, but then other things are going up.
Well, muscle weighs more than...
Right. Well, no, and that's why I'm not... Muscle weighs more than fat. Yeah. But that's why I'm not worrying about the weight. But it's kind of interesting because, like, last week, I went down in my waist and in my chest by an inch, but I went up 2 inches in my legs. So it was kind of one of the – it was a wash for overall inches lost, but it's still in the right direction.
Well, good for you. Keep it up, Jimmy. And you're, like, coaching or something?
I am now a Beachbody coach. So anybody that wants to get a Beachbody program, I will be – and you want to have, like, a good coach I can be your coach. Starting in December, I'm going to be doing a 21-day fix challenge group. And challenge groups are basically you get a bunch of people together who are all doing the same program, and you basically say, okay, every day I'm going to give you a challenge to do. And sometimes there's videos. Show us a video of you working out or post a healthy recipe or whatever. And it helps people, like, stay on track and get competitive. And at the end of the challenge group, there'll be a very small prize.
Awesome. So, well, I would post videos of me working out, but that would end up on Funny or Die.
To be honest, from someone who, like, goes to the gym every single day, like, three times a day, like, from what you do, like, you've had a lot of progress.
Yeah.
I mean,
Jimmy's looking great.
Like, a lot of times I hear this stuff, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's bullshit.
Right.
And, like, you know, but then, like, seeing you do it, like, when you first told me about it, and I was like, oh, okay, well, Jimmy could do something healthy. It's great.
Right.
And then, like, you know, like, good for you. But then, like, you know, like, what's the results going to be?
He stays at it, though. That's the thing. Like, Jimmy stays at it.
He's consistent with it. And, you know, he still strays on his diet and stuff, like he said, and it's still working.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is you don't have to be perfect.
No.
You
just got to put, you know, you got to push it every day. You got to give it the effort. And that's the thing is, yeah, you know, I have a beer every now and then. I'll get Subway instead of making a meal or even, you know, God forbid I get Hungry Howie's pizza or something. But, you know, the thing is and this is something that a lot of people have a hard time with, is it's not just the working out that gives you the results. You got to have the nutrition, too.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about the programs that I'm doing with size and the 21-day fix. The nutrition plan that they have for that, the Color Containers program, it's so easy to stick with that, and that's why I've been so successful with it.
Well,
so,
good luck. Luck to you, Jimmy. Yep. Well, keep us updated. Yep. We'll keep everybody updated on Jimmy's progress and how you can join him. Once again, thanks to Activate. Thanks to Podcast Detroit. Yep. Thanks to Falling Down. Thanks to Anthony Barnes for hanging out with us and eating all of the healthy peanut mixture stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks to Kirsten for hanging out with us. We didn't get a chance to talk to you much, but you know, just because you're shy and quiet, you got to jump in every now and then.
So
absolutely,
you guys talk a lot, man.
Well, it's sort of our job. So
thanks to Brad and Rochelle who had to leave
for leaving and leaving us in charge.
That's right.
So
K-Hub's coming up here next. So
she is. Stay tuned. If you've downloaded the podcast, go over and download her podcast now that you're done listening to ours.
That's right.
We will be back next week and. Until then, I don't know. Come up with some kind of a tagline, Jimmy.
Keep rocking it.
Stay classy.
Stay classy.
Keep punching, Detroit.
All right.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.